Hey, this is Brother Two Post, StonePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're all doing great today. I want to bring you a teaching, and this is a really unique topic. I think it'll edify you. The new city of Jerusalem. I want to talk about this promise that God has placed for us in His Word about a new city of Jerusalem that's going to come at the end of days. And I'm going to discuss it, give you a whole bunch of scriptures on it. This is a favorite verse of ours. I'm going to read right here, and we talk about it a lot, Sister Amin and I. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I love that. Jerusalem is that city to come that they're talking about. And if you look at the history of Jerusalem, it's been sacked, overtaken, destroyed, taken captive, overrun. Let's see. History says this, ready? Attacked 52 times, captured and retaken 42 times, under siege 23 times, totally destroyed twice. That's what history says. And so what city could the disciples have been looking for when they said that a city to come? Well, the continuing city. This would be the new Jerusalem that's going to come. We're going to give you a bunch of scripture verses on it. And I got to be honest, for us, as van-dwelling nomads, who sold any earthly ownings that we had, land and things like that, our homestead, we have no city. So we often think about that verse and think about we're going to have a city to come. We don't have a city today. One day we're going to have this glorious city, and you can have it too if you're born of Christ via the gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection, repentance to Him from all false ways and all sin, be born by His Spirit, follow after Him, the kingdom of God in spirit and truth, and endure to the end. You too can have a city that is coming for you as well. So what about this city of Jerusalem to come? What is this all about? Where do we get this from? Well, it's a promise from the Father going back in the Old Testament. Mostly it's in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. The basic idea is that since God has Israel and Jerusalem as the apple of His eye, like His special nation and special people. Zechariah 2:8 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath He sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye." So this just means Israel, Jerusalem was special to God. Now we know that the Gentiles have been drafted in, and so we are special to God as well, but God still has a place for Israel and Jerusalem. We're going to learn that right here. And as I said, it's a physical Jerusalem that's been rebuilt, destroyed, taken over. But guess what's coming? An eternal Jerusalem. One day, at the end of days, after the tribulation, He's going to send down a permanent eternal city, and the city of no end, it will not fade, and Christ is going to rule from it. This is going to be a glorious thing to behold and be part of. So let's take a look at some verses regarding this city of Jerusalem. Hebrews 11:10. For He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So God is going to be the one that's going to make this city that we're talking about, the new Jerusalem. And we get our best description of it from Revelation 21:2-3, or a description. There's other descriptions we're going to read. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. It's new. It's not going to be like the old Jerusalem. It's going to be new. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Isn't that beautiful? Now we're kind of distant from Christ and our Father, but there's going to come a day when He's going to be right with us. The tabernacle, which is Him, is going to be right there. New Jerusalem is basically going to be the tabernacle, and it's all going to be played out right in front of us, in front of His people, His saints. What a glorious thing to even consider. When you look at this world, how everything's corruptible, everything's temporal, everything can fade. To see a city and think of a city that's never going to fade, that's built by the Father's hand, that's pretty glorious to think about. And this city's going to be massive too. Ready? Revelation 21:15-17. And He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city leaned 80, and the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height are of equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, arounding the measure of a man, that is of the angel. So I did a little research, and some people looking into these facts say that this city is going to be roughly 1,400 miles long. And then the Bible says it's going to be the same width and height. So it's going to be huge. All right, it's going to be a huge, huge city. And Revelation 21 goes on. Revelation 21, 18 to 27. It gives us even more detail. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. These are gems and gold. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third Chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sarnax, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth berylli, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were the 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. That's where you get that, where people talk about in heaven is gold streets, or this is the city, the New Jerusalem. And it was transparent as glass, and I saw no temple therein. That's interesting. Ready? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Isn't that awesome? God had a stone temple ordained. Christ is going to be the temple in this New Jerusalem. And the city had no need of sun, I love this, neither of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God did light it up, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I always tell people that the Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night, is not eternal. Do you know why? Because there'll be no Sabbath like that in heaven, Friday night to Sunday to Saturday night, because there's going to be no night. The light, there's no sun. There's going to be light all the time, because the light of Christ lights up this whole city. That's awesome. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it, and the gates of it shall be shut, not shut all day, for there should be no night there. What did I just tell you? There'll be no night there. So you can't have a traditional Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday evening, if there's no night. Christ is our Sabbath rest, as Hebrews 4 tells us. So I always tell people today, when they ask me, do I keep Sabbath? And I say yes and no. I don't keep Friday to Saturday night. I keep the Sabbath in Christ. I'm resting in Christ. And it says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations to it, and there should be no wise enter into it anything that defileth it, never, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by being born of Christ via the gospel. And look at that. No defilement, no sin, no making a lie, and no curse. We're going to read about that, and that's pretty important. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I love that. No light, no night. Christ is the light. Christ is the temple. What a glorious thing to behold. This whole city is built around Christ. And think about it. The Old Testament, the New Testament were what? All about Christ. And I'm going to show you some other interesting similarities between the beginning of the world and the end of the world, or going into this stage where the New Jerusalem, end of our world as we know it, and the beginning of God's eternal world. And Revelation 21 keeps going. Revelation 21 gives us much description. Then Revelation 22 keeps going, verses 1 through 5 right here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Remember that. And out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Remember that. Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne. Remember that. No more curse. We're going to talk about that. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. I love that. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So this city is going to have all these characteristics to it. And what I was sharing with you about the similarities between the beginning of the world with man in the garden and the end of the world as we know it, and then this new heaven and earth. Ready? The river of life we talked about. Most believe that's right here, Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of the Garden of Eden to water the garden. So there's that river. It's in the beginning and it's in the end. Isn't that awesome? God spares that and replaces it, puts it right back in place. And then it talks about the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. Where's the tree of life come from? Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord, out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So this tree of life is also going to be in this New Jerusalem. You got the river of life, you got the tree of life, right? I think that's awesome. And then you have the Old Testament that also talked about this loosely. Isaiah 65:17, he talks about, "For behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." So Peter also in 2 Peter 3:12 and 13 says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens will be on fire, shall dissolve, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." So this is what God's going to do. This new heaven and new earth is all going to be incorporated with this new Jerusalem. And it's interesting that God has this new Jerusalem. And what else do we see in Revelation? We see another city, but it's a wicked city, evil Babylon. Revelation 17, verses 5 and verse 9. "And upon her forehead was written the name Mystery." Notice that. God's name is on people's foreheads. Now this evil is on the forehead. "The Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." And verse 9 says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." So she's labeled a woman, of course, a harlot. And many people, including me, I'm not totally dogmatic on it, but there's great, great evidence that the Roman Catholic Church will be this mother of harlots. And I believe the daughter of the harlots are the evangelical system and everyone that's come out of her into churchianity, 40,000 flavors today. And why do I say that? A lot of clues. And I'm going to do a teaching on that. In fact, I have some teachings on that, but I'm going to do some more in the future. But it says she sits on a city of seven hills. There's only one city that I know of that is known to sit on seven hills, and that is Rome. Where does the Roman Catholic Church corporate headquarters, because they're the biggest business in the world, I call them a business? Rome. So I think there's good evidence that the Roman Catholic Church is going to be this whore or the mystery Babylon harlot, and she's the mother of the harlots, all of the churchianity systems. And Babylon is going to be destroyed, but the New Jerusalem will go on forever. Revelation 18, 21. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be no more at all." So Babylon's going to rise up for a time, but then it's going to be thrown down before this great city of Jerusalem is to come. That will be forever and ever, and Christ will rule there. And we have a couple other descriptions where it talks about it. Revelation 21, 10, John says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven of God." Isn't that awesome? Revelation 22, 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter into through the gates into the city." That's the city he's talking about, the new Jerusalem. And Revelation 22, 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city." You get in the holy city through the book of life, you get taken out of the holy city through the book of life. And it says, "And from the things which are written in this book." So you take away from the word of God, you're going to get your name taken out of the Lamb's book of life, and you won't make it into the holy city. Now, I mentioned before some similarities. I think this is interesting. God started the world. Ready? Hear this. Listen close. God started the world with a place, Garden of Eden, a river, a tree of life, and it got cursed. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust shall eat of all thy days of thy life. So Satan got cursed, and the earth got cursed. The thorns and the thistles grew. Adam had to go labor. Woman had pain in childbirth. So a curse came on the earth because of sin, right? But how does God end his created earth with his new heaven and earth? Ready? He ends it with a place, New Jerusalem. He ends it with a river. We just read about it. He ends it with the tree of life. We just read about that. But guess what? There will be no more curse. This is awesome. No more curse by sin. Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is really important here. No more curse in the city of Jerusalem. Why? Well, this is awesome. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Messiah, died on a stake made from a tree or post. The word cross in the New Testament Greek, the word storos, means a stake or a post made from a tree. Now, I teach this all the time, and people always say, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. Jesus did not die on a cross. Jesus died on a stake or a tree, and the cross beam, when they hoisted him up, made the shape of a cross. But biblically, he died on a post or a tree or a stake. It's the Roman Catholics, which is that Babylon system, I believe, made the cross shape into a relic and a focus of religious adoration. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says Jesus died on a tree or on a stake. And why is that important? Why does this matter in theology and in our salvation? I'm going to tie it together right here. This is why. Deuteronomy 21:23. His body shall not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hung is accursed of God. So if you hang on a tree, you're accursed. Now, the tree that it's talking about here in Hebrews, the word is eitz. It means a plank or stick of wood, okay? So that's what it means. Now, Paul, Brother Paul, in Galatians 3:13, quotes this scripture, and he says this, ready? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a cross? No. Cursed is everyone that hang upon a tree. It's biblical to say Jesus died on a tree because Jesus was cursed for us. Anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed, and he removes the curse in the New Jerusalem that Adam put on us in the Garden of Eden. Does that all make sense, Adam and Eve? But does that make sense? I hope it does. Jesus died on a tree or a stake, not on a cross. And that's how the curse is removed from Jerusalem. It's all the work of our glorious Savior. So what an absolutely amazing heavenly promise that we have to look forward to. A pure, undefiled, majestic city of our God that will never fade away, won't have sin, won't have iniquity, will not have curses, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And it's all because of the work of Jesus Christ, and that's why we love him and serve him and adore him so much. Only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life via that gospel I just preached to you beginning earlier in this audio. You can see it on don'tperish.com and check out the links for the Gospel Life teaching articles, teaching audios on each aspect of it. Only those born of the gospel will ever enter into this glorious city. So I've taught you all about this city, the promises of God. It's going to be coming down. It's on the way. I have a question. Do you yourself have a hope of this glorious city from heaven to come? I'll tell you how to get it if you don't. Repent and obey the gospel. Be born of Christ. I preached it earlier. Live for him in holiness and obedience as fruit that you know him. And endure until this day, your death. And then one day, maybe you'll be alive when he comes back with this glorious city coming down from heaven, the new Jerusalem, adorned like a bride for her husband. What an amazing sight to behold, never to be defiled again. Sin put down, death put down, Satan finally put down. He's cast into the lake of fire. Wow, that's something amazing to ponder. I hope you ponder that. I hope you're looking for your own city to come. Even if you live in a city today, I hope you're looking for this better, eternal city to come, because it's going to be glorious. And I can't wait to see it. And I want to see you there just as well. So check out don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources. Check out that gospel. Let us know how we can edify you in the faith. That's it for this teaching. Thanks for listening in. What a glorious thing to consider. The new Jerusalem coming down. And I think almost just as amazing is Christ is going to be the light of it and no more night. The other night I was up about 3 o'clock in the morning and it's so dark and so still and so calm and so void of like anything the night is. There's something about night, that darkness, it's just not good. I know God made light and dark and with the earth and the sun and all that. But what a glorious thing it's going to be when there's going to be no more night. Go ponder that. Go ponder this new Jerusalem. I hope this has been a blessing to you. We love you all. Traveling on the gospel road. Till next time, Lord, let me come to you again. Follow that gospel with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. May God be praised.